Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 66 for May 3rd, 2009, When Cuisines Collide. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. When Cuisines Collide. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Cammie Blackstone, the Cuisine Collider. You're the Super Collider of Cuisines.
Yeah, something like that. And that's why we had to listen to a little Dick Dale, because that's like when musical cuisines collide.
And Dick's playing Hava Nagila.
Does that make you want to dance?
Yeah. Do you say... Do you say opa? No, that's Greek.
Yeah, Greek is opa. I remember that because they always see on the end of the commercials of the Greek festival.
Opa!
Opa!
But see, then that would be really a major collision, like a three-way. Are there any three-way cuisine collisions, or is it all two-way?
Wow, you are kind of blowing my mind, because I was really only focusing on two, and I thought that was a bit of a challenge to come up with, and now you saddle me with the threesome?
Okay. Remember, you and I, we worked at the illustrious KLOK Clock FM on Polk Street.
Yes, no radio,
where all the teen prostitutes hung out.
I know.
All the boys were there. And up the street, there was a restaurant called Italia.
Or Italia.
Which was a fusion of Oriental and Italian food.
I totally forgot about that.
There was the ultimate cuisine collision.
What happened to Oritalia?
I don't know.
How could people give up on Oritalia when you know that the Italians got pasta from China?
From China! I thank you.
So there.
Did they ever thank them? Did Marco Polo say, hey, thank you for the pasta?
I don't think so.
Here's a nice bolognese for you. You enjoy that.
But then the Chinese took opera from Italy, so maybe it was like a trade.
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
Did they know? There's Chinese opera, but it doesn't sound anything like Figaro.
Oh, well, I was just trying to think of something. Well,
that doesn't sound like Figaro. Not even Traviata.
I don't know what that sounded like, actually.
It didn't sound like anything.
The ultimate, though, it's funny because you mentioned Oritalia. And to me, the first restaurant I thought of was, and it's another restaurant that's not around anymore, was Carlos Murphy's.
Carlos Murphy's, the Italian...
Remember? Irish pub.
Irish?
No, it was Mexican Irish
pub.
So they would have nachos and a Guinness, or they pretty much ran it into the ground.
There's a restaurant here in Petaluma called Kwai Bin. Chinese restaurant, one would think, yes. And in fact, it is. But it has a big poster board out front that says, we serve Chinese, Mexican, Korean, and Filipino food. So I guess the idea is maybe not enough people wanted just the plain old Chinese, so they had to
branch out. A little something for everyone. It's like a food court all under one roof. A little something. It's like Epcot.
It's like Epcot.
Every nation in the world is represented right there. That's amazing.
There's something magical about mixing cuisine.
There is, and I think that more and more, we take for granted that cuisines are mixed. Like pizza, I think, is the ultimate mixer of cuisine.
How so? I think it's pretty Italian, isn't it?
It is pretty Italian, although they have a lot of variations. For instance, in San Francisco, I've mentioned this before when we did our pizza episode, Zante's Pizza. You can go to their site, which is Zante, Zantes pizza.com, and it's Indian pizza that has cauliflower and tandoori chicken. And no, it's fantastic.
Is it?
It is so good.
Oh, all right. It doesn't sound good. But
no.
See, I'm a little conservative when it comes to that, because I'm not a fan of Hawaiian pizza. I don't feel that pineapple should be heated.
Well, you know, and that's even a further fusion, because it's pineapple and Canadian bacon.
Oh, wow.
And pizza. Got a lot going on there.
That's all over the map. So there you go. Though, that's a tri-fusion.
Maybe, though, as Canada's like a neutral country,
right.
Like maybe
it's the Switzerland of the Northwest parallel. East,
something
above the 49th.
Now my friend Pedro is from Brazil.
Yes.
And he has a restaurant called Mozzarella di Buffalo in West Portal. I think there's one on Fillmore in San Francisco also. And they serve Brazilian food and pizza. And then he makes Brazilian pizza.
Ooh, I like that.
I know. It's
so what
good.
Is Brazilian, though? Brazilian's just meat.
It's a lot of meat, a lot of stewy stuff.
Stewy stuff.
Di Buffalo. DIBUFALA.com.
Like Buffalo Mozzarella.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got braised meats like you wouldn't believe. But then they also have the most delicious pizza around, including pizza with a yummy cornmeal crust. So here's one.
I love that. But I guess that's not Italian. That's got to be something else.
It's another cross-cultural collision.
It's not Brazilian either. It's just cornmeal.
Well, they probably have cornmeal in Brazil.
Oh.
Why wouldn't they have cornmeal in Brazil? Come on.
All I know is they got coffee in the coffee in Brazil. Isn't that what Sinatra said? They put coffee in the coffee in Brazil.
I don't know that number.
Oh, it's great.
I'm going to have to look for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll play it.
That's,
you've given me so many assignments.
That's the opposite of when cuisines collide. That's when that's a mono cuisine.
Well, and I know that Japanese people have like their take on pizza also. Now I can't find the guys.
What?
Oh, here's
no,
if you go to
don't.
Gregman.com. Ooh. Gregman.com. He's does this blog. His site's all about Japanese stuff. And there's like crazy Japanese pizza. So there's like there's a pizza for every country in the world, except for maybe Chad. I don't believe I've had any Chadian pizza. But
Chad,
I'm down with
Chadmian pizza.
I don't know, whatever it is. What Chad? How do you say from Chad?
From Chad with love.
Something. But then there's also so many fusions of Irish food. Do you remember this? Also, is in San Francisco. We go from Carlos Murphy's, which was Irish Mexican, to Kennedy's Irish Pub and Curry House.
Sure.
They have a great curry in an Irish pub.
Sure.
Kennedy'sCurry.com.
What makes it Irish, though? I mean, curry is not...
It's an Irish pub.
Oh.
Kennedy's. Just go to Kennedy'sCurry.com, and you'll see.
Ethan Bacara, and I like it, too.
Check it out.
Sure I do. Whenever I look for the gold at the end of the rainbow, if there's a big pot of curry there, I'm going to love it, too. I like it, too.
Now, in addition, at Kennedy's Irish Pub and Curry House, they also have hookahs.
Hookahs?
They do a little hookah.
Is that legal in Ireland, hookahs?
I don't know if it is in Ireland, but it is in San Francisco. Many a hookah bar in San Francisco.
My kid wants a hookah in his room. I said,
why?
No. I said, that's smoking tobacco. He said, no, it's not tobacco. It's shisha.
Hot.
It's shisha. Yeah, he says, yeah. I won't do tobaccos, Dad. No, it's shisha. And I said, shisha is fruit-flavored tobacco.
Ugh.
It is tobacco.
That just made me kind of throw up.
Oh, yeah. It's very fruity.
Well, at Kennedy's Irish Pub and Curry House, they actually have a hookah master, Eamon, who's very Irish. And he actually helps you learn the hookah, which I didn't know would be that hard. But
it isn't that hard. It's pretty easy. They take a fruit-flavored tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrap it in foil, I think, and then they put a hot coal on top of it. So it's not lit on fire. It's smoked.
Warmed?
Warmed.
It's smoked.
Well,
okay.
It kind of smokes. And then I guess then the smoke goes bubbled through water into a hose that then it feeds into your mouth. And by the time it gets to you, it's very cool and tastes like peaches.
Why don't you just eat a peach then? That sounds like an awful process to have to go through just to have the peach.
I'm with you there. I said, no, you can't have it. He said, but I'd be the only kid in school with a hookah. I said, yeah. You wonder why that is? The only kids.
You know what I always say to my kids when they want something, like, you know, when my 11-year-old asks for a tattoo, he'll say, like, Mom, can I have a tattoo? And I'm like, well, what kind would you get? And then he'll go into great detail about the dragon or whatever it is he's going to get. Yeah. I say, well, of course you can when you're 18.
Yeah, that's, you know what? Yeah. I'm still having that conversation with Abby. There's one little problem with that. She's 17. She's going to be 18 in a few months. Yeah, she's actually got drawings.
Of tattoos?
Yeah, I don't call.
As long as she doesn't do like the Mike Tyson full facial, I think it's okay.
I keep telling her it's a tramp stamp because I'm thinking that'll kind of discourage her.
Uh-huh.
She said, well, we don't call it that. I said, well, that's what it's called. She said, well, I'm not putting it on my butt. I said, well, where are you putting it? She said, somewhere you can't see it. I said, well, why are you doing it?
It's for myself.
It's for me. I said, I think she should shave her head, get the tattoo on her scalp, and then if she, you know, grows her hair back, you won't see it.
There you go. You know what you need to do is Google a bunch of images of like super fat 60-year-old biker chicks
there you go.
That have had saggy tattoos and say, do you really want to look like this when you're 60?
Soledad O'Brien has a tattoo. She would never tell me where, but all she would tell me is it's somewhere that won't sag. But I don't know where that could be. I think everything sags given enough time.
The sole of her foot?
Must be. That's it. That won't sag. It can't. It's the lowest part of your body.
Right here, like inside.
Your lobe sags. No, yours sag.
No, inside. Inside.
Like everything, cartilage sags.
Oh, okay.
Haven't you noticed that older people often have massive ears?
Yes, I know. I watch 60 Minutes. I know.
There you go. Yeah, look, Mike Wallace has the biggest. He's like Dumbo. And it's because cartilage sags.
Oh, my goodness. He's practically airborne walking down the street.
I've never seen an elephant fly.
All right. Well, moving on to more things when cuisines collide.
When
we're talking Irish stuff, right?
Cuisines collide.
I work for a supervisor who's Chinese. And she's a first-generation Chinese woman. And she had to be in the St. Patrick's Day parade. What could I do to make her appear Irish?
Oh, no, that's not going to work. You dye her hair green.
Well, thank God I found Irish fortune cookies from Oriental Trading Company. And they were green fortune cookies individually wrapped with little shamrocks. And inside the fortune cookie,
yes.
Chinese, crack it open and there would be a little like Erin Go Bragh sort of Irish saying.
It says, vote for me.
Slancha, slancha.
Slancha. What does slancha mean?
Drink.
Oh.
Cheers.
Well, there you
slancha.
Go. Slancha. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Now, another great fusion of culinary delights would be the Vietnamese sandwich, because they use delicious rolls of French bread, and then they put all of their, like,
well,
you know, like they smoke the pork and the cucumbers and carrots inside.
Do they smoke the pork in a hookah?
They do.
It's called.
It's pre-smoked for you.
Swinsha. Swinsha, they call it. you know, because it's funny because the French, of course, occupied Vietnam. It was a French colony. So I imagine the French bread makes sense. That's really.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's a great combination of cultures, though. Just the fluffy white.
That sounds fantastic.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone? There's a great place by my house called Banwich on Terravel. Banwich sandwich.
Banwich.
And Banwich.
Banwich.
Not Banwit. But Banwich. Yeah. And they make the awesome sandwiches. And then I just stumbled across this amazing blog called Earl of Sandwich. Earlofsandwich.blogspot.com. Mm. And he reviews a great place that has fantastic Vietnamese sandwiches I'm going to have to check out. And it's funny because I was reading like the whole reason this blog even started was because he was tired of on Yelp, you can't swear. And sometimes he felt he was not able to describe a delicious sandwich without...
Dang, that's good. Dang.
Using colorful language. So he started his own Earl of Sandwich.
That's just non-creative.
What, swearing?
You can come up with something. You know, dang, honey, well, bits of honey, that's good.
When you check out his blog, Leo, you will see that he has a fine, he's very well-schooled in the art of profanity. And
a word of warning.
He cannot be this. Stuffed.
Oh, you know, I'm going to swear. This Korean barbecue chicken sandwich looks so good.
Doesn't it?
Mm-mm. BLTs me. Wow, that looks good.
Yeah, so he is
right.
very colorful language, but
spicy.
Spicy.
Spicy language.
PG 13, well, beyond 13.
Okay, well, word of warning. A word to the wise.
But they do have some great listings of sandwiches, and the Vietnamese ones, got to check it out.
I was in Japantown this weekend, and I saw a lot of Japanese sandwich shops in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Japantown.
Yeah, that's fun. The mall there. Was there last night, actually.
You come to San Francisco, do you ever give me a call?
I couldn't. I was there for the San Francisco Film Festival.
Oh.
My friends had a movie there. I know the guy who wrote it. I know the kid who starred in it. I know his parents.
How? Yeah. What is it? Plug it.
Oh, it's an uplifting little film called My Suicide.
Oh. Actually, bring me down, man.
No, you know what? It's really good. It's for teenagers. I mean, it's a real film, and it's brilliant. I mean, it's very the stylistically, it's very sophisticated. Very YouTube-y and cool. It's about this kid who announces in his high school. You know, the film teacher says, "Well, what's your project going to be?" He says, "Well, I'm going to film my suicide." And there's just like this furor that comes about it. But the inspiration was, it's an anti-suicide film, and the inspiration was. And they have a lot of, they worked with a lot of professionals on, you know, what message should we give out to help kids understand this and what they're, and it was great. It was really moving. It was touching. It was very modern. I think it's going to be a huge hit. They won a Crystal Bear Award at the Berlin Film Festival. They rave reviews at the South by Southwest Festival, and this is its San Francisco debut. So it was fun because it was all as Petalumans, because this Petaluma kid is the star of it and did all, I mean, brilliant kid.
So did you guys all hop on the Golden Gate Transit, head
on, roll on down,
bound
to Golden Gate? Party bus. And you know, if we had only been able to stop and have some delicious Himalayan cuisine.
Oh, see, here is another great place to go. Although this, I believe, is in Los Angeles.
Oh, I like the URL. It's like it's HimalayanCuisineNumber1.com. I guess they couldn't get somebody else had HimalayanCuisine.com.
Well, you should click on it because it has this beautiful Himalayan music.
Let's hear the music.
This is a fusion of Indian and Italian.
Oh, it's got spaghetti and a meatball.
Yeah, it's.
Jai ho! But then they show like pizza pies. Spaghetti. This is not what they eat. First of all, okay, I got a few problems. They got a picture of the Taj Mahal, which is in northern India, in Agra. It's not near the Himalayas. Then they have lasagna, which is definitely not Indian. Oh, wait a minute. There's chicken tikka masala. Well, that's Indian. And then spaghetti. The wonderful, famous Indian cuisine of spaghetti and meatballs. It is so good. It is just like Mama used to make. And then this rock and roll raga. It's kind of James Bondy.
Guitar's rock. Ooh. Wow. Can we get all electronic?
Oh, yeah, we were getting a little synth. You want to hear a little synthesizer? Wow, that's good. Now, when we were in France, we visited Abby in France because she's living there right now. That's another story. And we went there for Christmas to see her, and she took us to her favorite restaurants. One would expect fine, delicious French food.
Frog legs and
snails.
Snails,
because she's in Brittany, maybe some crepes. No. In fact, we wanted to go to a crepe place. She said, no, I won't go there. No one eats crepes here. So wait a minute. That's the state food of Brittany. Yeah. This is your famous worldwide for crepes.
Come on.
You used to like crepes. She says, no, my favorite restaurant here is sushi.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then she took us to a Tibetan restaurant. Now, I don't know how Tibetan and Himalayan's related, but let me tell you something. This is not spaghetti and meatballs. The main Tibetan food, at least in France, is a kind of a buckwheat turd.
But super delicious.
No. Oh, tastes exactly...
Like it's described.
Looks like that, and then but then to add to the flavor, you got the buckwheat. It's like a dumpling, and then they roll it in buckwheat flour, just because it doesn't have enough buckwheat flavor in it, and so it's just a little bit of water, a little bit of buckwheat rolled in buckwheat, and then apparently uncooked.
Oh, that just sounds like it would like cement your mouth shut. Yeah, that is like a Got Milk commercial. What's going on?
Well, don't ask for milk because it comes from yaks.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. And it's nice and warm.
Yeah, you don't want that. So we had that. That wasn't so good. I said, you got a nice crepe for dessert.
And why does Abby like that? What does she find delicious about
that? I asked her, you know, I thought maybe she made a mistake. So I asked her the other day, have you been to that Tibetan place? She said, oh, yeah, we go there all the time. If they had a good Korean barbecue taco truck, they wouldn't need this kind of food.
There you go. Yet another one. Now, this is very popular in Los Angeles, the Kogi truck. And
here it comes.
Kogi means meat. So, like, if you see this truck, when you see the word Kogi, it's like in L.A. if you saw a truck that just had big old big letters that said meat, M-E-A-T.
You know, I look for a truck with big ass letters that just says M-E-A-T, but I never see one.
Well, you know, the Korean and taco thing is really catching on because not only is the Kogi truck like super popular with lines around the block wherever they show up. And it's another one of those places where it's like guerrilla advertising where they Twitter where they're going to be.
You're kidding, really? Huh?
Everyone shows up to have the Kogi tacos and burritos. But there's a place in San Francisco also called John's Snack and Deli. And they also have mostly Korean food, but they're big. Their thing they're known for is the kimchi burrito and kimchi soft taco. And so they have like a soft shell tortilla, bulgogi beef, sauteed kimchi, lettuce, salsa, onion, cilantro.
That actually sounds very good.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
I mean, there's a lot of like Korean spiced beef that, I mean, that could kind of end up tasting like carne asada, sort of. Like,
Korean's pretty good to barbecue. Korean barbecue is the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, put it in a taco. All you're doing is wrapping it in a flour tortilla. Mm-hmm. You know, only thing missing would be like a little ball of buckwheat flour. And you'd be happy.
And a frosty glass of yak milk.
You'd be happy.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's wrap it up. We got to wrap it up because it's almost 3 and you got to go, I know. But I just want to play one of the best Jawaian bands.
Okay.
What's a Jawaian band?
Jawaian is, it's not Jewish Hawaiian, it's Jamaican Hawaiian. Although I was talking to a rabbi who was telling me about this Hawaiian couple who had converted to Judaism and they named their daughter, this is a great cultural collision, Shaloha.
Shaloha! From Da Don Ho.
One more little plug for a San Francisco place.
Yes.
You got to try one time.
Yes.
Old Mandarin Islamic, which is a halal Chinese restaurant out here on Vicente and 43rd Avenue.
Oh, halal Islamic. I love it. Cammie Blackstone, you're the greatest. Catch Munchcast. We tape it live at 2 o'clock every Saturday afternoon Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. And you can subscribe on iTunes and listen to your heart's content. Go get some kimchi and bulgogi. Yeah, we're running out. I could tell.
Yeah, I know. Oh, come on. It's a great idea.
We'll talk to you later.